I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. Toronto votes this October. In the lead up to the 2022 municipal election, CGRU is reaching out to all candidates in the downtown wards. Today, Pierre Therrien joined CGRU to discuss his decision to run for Ward 11, University Rosedale. As a climate activist, he says that he will strive to remove all commercial CO2 waste in the atmosphere.
My name is Pierre Thomas Therrien. I go by Pierre Therrien. I'm from Sarnia, Ontario, and spent my life as an authorized nuclear operator, licensed to operate our commercial power reactors. So I spent 30 years operating our reactors, and then 3 years ago or so, I retired, and I've been traveling around and looking at other cities, and I wanted to take the opportunity to come back here during the to Toronto and live in Toronto during the municipal elections and the competition for leader of the Liberal Party.
Great. So when did you feel it was the right time for you to run for Ward 11, University Rosedale?
It became appropriate when they, I foresaw the elections coming up last fall while I was traveling, and I saw the opportunity then, especially since with the development of the news that Stephen Del Duca has lost the election against Rob Ford. Mm-hmm. And I thought that this would be a very good time to enter because of those realities.
Mm-hmm. So why do you want to become Ward 11's new city councillor?
I want to create new laws about how we deal with pollution. I think that individual action to deal with the climate change crisis is not going to work. And what we need is systemic change. And so I've developed some ideas that will allow us to control climate change. And because I see this as such a fundamental issue right now in our society, I think I need to make these ideas public so that everyone can see how easy it will be to control the environment.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting because I am going to ask you that about the platform questions. Mm-hmm. The first thing is, in your opinion, what voice do you bring to city council?
A voice of reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, as you can read on my platform, I think that what's missing from a lot of our government is long-term planning. And the problem is we're not deciding what we want first. We need to decide what we want and how we want our society to look. And then we need to take the actions necessary to make that reality come true.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, you know, Mike Layden, he recently said that he would not seek re-election for Ward 11. He's a pretty popular guy. He's a trusted voice in the community.
Yes.
Both for Ward 11 now and for the previous ward before the change in the border, so Ward 19. How do you think you can earn that voter's trust that's been so accustomed to someone like Mike Layden?
Yes. My ideology is is consistent with what Mike Layden has to offer, and the changes that I would make with our society are consistent with his ideals as well. And so I've reached out to Mike Layden, and I'd like to talk with him and get his endorsement for this position.
All right. Great. So going to the platform now, I'm just going to list a few things that are of concern in Ward 11. And I'd just like to know your opinion and what you'd like to do with it when you are city councillor. So the first thing is affordable housing.
So our real estate industry is about to undergo some tumultuous times. And I think from what I hear from the real estate agents, such as Santos here in Toronto, and the predictions, the forces that they see that are unfolding in the fabric of the real estate market, are telling these analysts that there will be a collapse in housing prices, and this will lead to a lot of new housing coming onto the market. And what I think is that we have to utilize the housing first strategy and harm reduction. And that's what's going to give the people who have not had a chance, who've suffered from mental health and drug addiction and alcoholism, people who have not had a chance to succeed in our society, it's our responsibility to house them correctly. So what I would do is, when the city is able to obtain more housing units, I want to purchase them. I want Toronto to purchase them, and I want them to become a part of the housing first and harm reduction strategies.
Right. And the next one, it leads to what you already mentioned, but tenant encampments in the city and trust in the shelter system.
Yes, trust in the shelter system will come through housing first and harm reduction. Those are the two policies that we need to adopt now in our society, in Toronto and all over Ontario. We need to end homelessness and housing first, and harm reduction will do that for us. It's been demonstrated in Finland. Utah has had an excellent experience with housing first and harm reduction, and these answers are already packaged for us. We don't need to design anything new. All we have to do is follow the example of those who have succeeded.
Mm-hmm. So the next one, and it is related, but affordability in Ward 11. So examples are public transit, childcare.
So when it comes to transit, my position is that transit should be free. You should be able to walk on to the city bus or on to the... right now, transit is a tax on the poor. And I think that is fundamentally wrong in our society, and I think we need to change that. And what I would do is, my solution to climate change is a carbon tax that will remove our commercial waste CO2 from the atmosphere, and it will restore atmospheric conditions to where they were before we, as Bob Dole said, put all this CO2 into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. All right. That actually is interesting, because you've mentioned also your work for climate change and climate action, and that is mm-hmm. the next one. I'd like to know your thoughts on that.
So I'd like you to think about how we have now put a price on removal of CO2 from the atmosphere. So there's a plant operating in Iceland now, and it's $600 a ton. So what I propose is that we, for every ton of emissions that any commercial operation discards into the atmosphere, and this is all fossil fuels. Cement production produces CO2 as well, but it's mostly fossil fuels that is the problem. And so my position is that for every ton of CO2 that the producers of oil pump out of the ground, we tax the source. So for every ton of CO2 that they emit, I'm going to force them to pay for 2 tons of removal. Now, the cost of removal is $600 per ton at that Cadillac facility. They think they can get it down to less than $100 a ton. That would make, at $100 a ton, if you double that, that's $200 per ton that they emit, they'll have to pay for removal. Well, we can take that $200 ton removal cost and apply it as the carbon tax, and therefore, there will be no more pollution, and we will immediately be in negative emissions. Exxon has a plan where they think they can get the cost down to less than $25 a ton, and they can We have to remove 1,100 gigatons of CO2 from the atmosphere. And that is an enormous task. It will require an enormous amount of energy. And many people argue that they think it's too expensive. But what happens is that when you pay somebody to remove CO2 from the atmosphere, you're paying for their livelihoods. This money that we go to, that we provide for removal will be churned up in our economy, and people will be paid to do energy production and to do the actual removal, and that money will rotate right back into the economy. So what you're doing by introducing such a heavy carbon tax when it's devoted to removal is you increase human productivity, and that will make us all wealthier.
Mm-hmm.
This is my premise. Okay, well, I did want to mention my idea about bike paths and parks. And I think that after seeing various cities around the world, I would say that I would ask the question, why are Toronto's waterfront bike paths and the pedestrian paths not comparable with those in Vancouver? Why do we have a system of pedestrian walkways and bike paths along the waterfront that just does not compare with Vancouver's? We should have something much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
I picture well, the problem that a lot of people have with cars and bikes and pedestrians is that they're not separated. In order for the pedestrians to feel safe along the waterfront or wherever they're walking, they need to be separated from the bikes and the cars. And there are way too many instances in Toronto where that is not the case. The pedestrians are conflicting with the bikes. They're conflicting with the cars. The bikes are conflicting with everyone. This has to be resolved, and we need some freer paths. To do so, we need something comparable to the seawall in Vancouver, and we need to put that right down on along the waterfront. That will resolve a lot of the issues that people have, and it'll make a much more relaxed and friendly and open experience for those who want to go and visit the waterfront and look at the beautiful islands, things that we have along the waterfront.
Great. So just two more things on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned it already, but I'd like to know your thoughts on police reform.
Yes. So I think that defunding the police is a great idea. I think that there has been, and I think that there is a practical way to do so. And Fantino has stated the case quite clearly. I think it was him that has been adamant about decriminalizing all drugs. I think that the criminalization of drugs, I believe that the war on drugs is a war on our own people, and we must abandon this fight. I think we have to treat people responsibly, and that's a part of the harm reduction philosophy that belongs with the housing assistance program. So it's all connected together, I see.
Okay.
I don't know if that completes I would say about the police and the things that I've seen in the media, and I think that the Mr. Yadam, who was killed by the police, I think that is a completely outrageous act to kill somebody who just really needs help. I think that there has been a lack, that is a glaring example of a lack of respect for human life in the police services all throughout North America. You see it in the United States, especially. We've got to lead by example, and we have to teach our police officers to have a respect for life. I think that the police officers need to be trained to protect human life in all conditions, and a part of becoming a policeman is that you're putting your life on the line. And I know that they do that every day, and I have a huge respect for police officers. I just think that there's a fundamental problem with the training programs, where they just simply haven't been encouraged to have that respect for human life that's necessary in our society.
Mm-hmm. For the last one for the platform, it is 2S LGBTQ plus rights.
Yes, I am all about inclusivity. I have no problems with whatever gender people want to take. I support going the extra mile to make sure that people with different or unique approaches to life, I think we must include everyone. Every human is valuable to all of us.
Great. My next question is, I'd like to know your opinion on the strong mayor system. And as a city councilor, how will you hold the mayor accountable?
I will hold the mayor accountable with reason. Either we are able to, we must debate. We must give our reasons for why we think things should be one way or another. And the mayor is guaranteed to respond in a rational, reasonable manner. And we will find our way through these issues. I'm outspoken. So if the mayor is not acting with reason, then I will identify this to him, and he will know exactly what my position is. Mm-hmm. I will use the media to say my opinions about what the mayor is doing. It sounds to me like Doug Ford is dictating to the municipalities what they will do, and it's wrong. A good politician, he uses his skills with debate, and a good politician uses his skills to communicate with his opponents and with his allies. And Doug Ford is not doing that. He's destroying the very fabric of our healthcare system. He's destroying our education systems, and all because of populist ideas. I am a technocrat. I offer realistic solutions to deal with realistic problems, and the solutions must adhere to reason.
Just give you an opportunity here, but what would you like to tell voters prior to the election?
We can control climate change. We can solve First Nations issue. We can defund the police by decriminalizing drugs. We can make transit free. These are long-term goals, and as your politician, I will carry these ideas through, and I will modify them as necessary to make sure that they're consistent with reason.
Mm-hmm. And how can voters learn more about your campaign?
Yeah, so I'm online as Zaphod Beeblebrox. That's at Zaphod B 239-40620. And I also have a campaign website, which is pierreterrien19.com. Everybody can see my platform there. There's a blog, and it tells about how I how I have come to the conclusions about my platform.
Right. Before we go, are there any other final thoughts you would like to add?
Well, I just really want to emphasize the idea that we can control climate change. I offer the idea of how to do so. And in order to do it, in order to control climate change, we will have to make new laws. And these laws will relate the carbon tax to the removal cost. For every ton of CO2 you put into the atmosphere, you will be forced to pay to remove 2. The rebate portion of this proposed carbon tax will make this cost nothing for those who earn less. But that's what it is. I've got big ideas. I want to make new laws, and I want to change our society for the better. I think we need to abandon a lot of conservative ideas that have led us down to the point that we're at now. And I think that a much larger social net is required.
That was Pierre Therrien, candidate for Ward 11, University Rosedale. Toronto's municipal election is scheduled for October 24th. I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.